When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Everton Fan Focus podcast. How's it going, Mark?
All right, mate. You talking about Everton or just me in general? Because was that happy? I'm okay. I'm better.
You always have to start with a bit of counselling, don't we?
I think this is going to be a counselling for a few people, to be honest, today. But no, seems it's been a rough one, hasn't it? Just been a non-stop shitstorm, to be honest, since the last one.
Let's start as we mean to go on there,
Mark. The fans are going around the full pelt and the shit's flying. That's all that can be said, really. Yeah.
So, I was going to say, how's the fume? But obviously, the fume is real. And
yeah,
it's very much alive. I can see that on a daily basis with your tweets.
I know, absolutely. I mean, you know, thankfully I'm not like that in real life. I just saved it all for Twitter.
But, I'll do.
Yeah, I do. Honestly, in real life, couldn't wish to meet a nicer bloke. On Twitter, pretty vicious. But now, it's just the way that club is at the moment, so I just don't know. It's gone beyond fume now. I've gone numb with it now. I've now lost interest. That's the way. It's gone. You know, love it. Then straight along to fume, anger. And now, it's just become such a circus act, what's going on. Couldn't believe he was still stood there on the touchline. It was like, splitting up with your wife, coming home, and then she's moved back in. I thought, oh, you're joking. But it was like that. So, it's just become a farce. Complete farce.
So, thanks for listening, everyone. That's all I've got to say.
That wraps it up nicely.
Well, it's been a good 3 weeks, hasn't it, since we last done one of these. To be honest, that last one, it was a lot of wrist-slitting content.
It was, mate. Thankfully, though, I've moved on to the Lucky Razors, so there's no hope for that tonight.
But I'm refusing. I mean, this is going to have negativity in it. It's bound to, but I'm refusing to take it too serious and sit here just, you know, downbeat about it. There is a lot of negativity.
Yeah, at that point now where we have to laugh about it.
Yeah, I think we're both very honest in that. We're not, you know, we're not going to ignore the fact that there's a lot of issues going on at the moment. And I'm sure we'll cover them all, or as many as we can throughout the next hour or so. But just what we'll do then, Mark, we've got a number of games to run through.
Yeah.
Obviously, most notably the Derby, the United game and the most recent game, Bournemouth. But there was three games before then that we never covered because we haven't done a podcast since. So looking back to the beginning of April, Mark, without getting ahead of yourself and starting a protest within the first 10 minutes, we drew at Watford 1-1 at the beginning of the month when James McCarthy scored just late in the first half. Then we conceded moments later, which has been quite a common theme this season, hasn't it? But we're going to probably flow through the Watford, Palace and Southampton games pretty quickly because we don't want to waste anyone's time. But
no.
There wasn't an awful lot to say for those three games, to be honest.
No.
Apart from the McCarthy goal, and the Coleman own goal.
Well, I mean, that was possibly the most, out of all the ridiculous goals we conceded, that maybe tops the list. To score in injury time in the first half, I think McCarthy's the replay it showed the clock, it was on 46 minutes. Only Everton could score in 46 minutes and go in level, go and take the lead, and go in at half time level. I mean, you know, Stones got a lot of stick, it wasn't a bad back pass. Joel isn't Leo Messi, he's not going to control that. So, but you know, it was just the most ridiculous goal to concede. I think it went off his back, didn't it, as well? The lad had to just. But it didn't even register as, oh, fuck, can you believe that we just conceded? It's just expected it. You know, you just expected every game. It happened, you know, last week as well. But it's just the possibly the most ridiculous goal to concede. Under no pressure, we conceded a goal. And then concede from the corner.
I remember on that game itself, watching it, a classic Twitter moment where I said, like, on 42 minutes or something, I honestly don't know what James McCarthy does apart from run around chasing shadows. And then obviously...
And then he run around...
As soon as I tweeted that, I was like, oh, blah, blah. But I stick to my word. He wasn't the only one, but...
No.
It was disappointing, wasn't it?
Shocking. It was... But the performance was flatter than, like, what you call it, you know, when you leave a can of ale overnight and then you pick it up in the morning. I think that was possibly more lively than that performance.
And it's got a ciggy stump.
That's been happening a lot lately. I need a bit.
Well, that happens. In the build-up to that game, there was a talking point with the Baines quotes. He came out in the Echo, didn't he? And to be honest, I think that was sort of the first sign of cracks appearing with Everton's relationship with the Echo. Baines was quoted as saying there was a lack of chemistry within the side.
Yeah.
He was open and honest and quite frank in his interview.
Which was refreshing compared to the bullshit we've had all season.
Definitely, and I think, you know, he's a scouser, he's an Evertonian, he's one of our most senior pros, and for him to come out and say that, I thought, it probably, you know, it was an honest assessment. And
So you can tell Baines is hurting, most of all, isn't he? I think he's hurting with what's gone on this season.
Definitely, and I mean, you know, it will affect other players more than others. You'd like to think the homegrown players probably feel it a bit more. But the build-up, all the talk about that is because Martinez was then questioned about that in the press conference, and now this has gone back.
Moons.
I mean, there's been how many ridiculous press conferences since then, but it is going back moons. But that, he did get questioned on that, and he said, oh, you know, Leighton apologised for those words. And then the next thing against Watford, the banner appears, Baines is one of us, Martinez out, and that was the first time this season. Significant moment.
I think a catalyst for what's gone on after it now. There was always going to be, there's been like a drip effect for the last 2 years with Everton fans, most Everton fans I'll say, not all, of putting up with shite on and just maybe hoping things will turn around, but it's just gone. And that for me was Baines, turning against Baines and having the front to make him apologise for an honest assessment. It wasn't like he was saying something else. That's the straw that broke. I think that was the catalyst for the protests and for fans to really begin to stand up about what's going on.
Definitely.
You know? But Baines, like you say,
it created more of a divide. There was, you know, there is always divides amongst Evertonians with certain topics, but I think the views on Roberto from the beginning of this month with that moment, the Baines apology, it is just snowballed. 100%. And it snowballed into the protests.
And it's brought pro-Roberto fans into that snowball. They now can see things.
I think a lot of people probably felt undermined by that, and I honestly felt it was very badly handled. And you know,
well, it was like a dictatorship. Now we know we're not to speak out. We know we don't speak out, even if things are going badly wrong, and everybody can see it. It was like that, wasn't it? No freedom of speech.
Well, that, I think what he needs to realise is not everyone puts a positive spin on everything, and you know, these players have been, maybe some of them have been at Everton a lot longer than the manager has, and a lot of them have maybe supported Everton for many other years, and it was just honest in his assessment.
Yeah.
And as one of your more well-respected members of the squad, those opinions are well thought of amongst Evertonians.
See, where he instantly lost credibility before anything else was that he didn't pull Lukaku up on openly stating he wanted to play for a Champions League team.
Mm.
Whilst away with Belgium, which is what they all seem to do, but it's like, you know, they're both entitled to say that, but although Lukaku hates a little bit more, but, you know, He didn't say nothing about Lukaku.
Barry's done it though,
didn't he? Leighton Baines isn't a Roberto Martinez signing. So maybe it's easier. I don't know. Don't know the guy, but I'm thinking, Gareth Barry,
But Barry made quotes again, and people were saying, when are you going to make him apologise? So it was all a bit.
Yeah, and he's a Roberto Martinez signing. You know, I just think.
But the fact, you know, the fact that we're talking about that around that game
sums the game up.
Just typifies that game and what's happened since, probably.
Yeah.
So yeah, we went to Watford, and you know they're one of the teams who are around us in the league. And the point probably done both sides no favours.
No, I mean they're having a much better season than us compared to what their expectations are, isn't it? You know, they've done well.
I think that spell there, Watford, Palace, and Southampton within a week. Yeah. A lot of us saw it as an opportunity, not that the fact that we were expecting three wins, but it was a real opportunity to sort of drag ourselves out of the mire, maybe the bottom half, and
at least cheer ourselves up.
Yeah, get back to 10th or 9th and cheer ourselves up before we went into a run of the Derby and obviously the United, two massive games. But it wasn't to be. We drew Watford, we went to Palace on the Wednesday night. Again, McCarthy was involved. This time he got sent off. There was plenty of defend, and I thought we did defend well.
We did.
Adebayor had chances, didn't he?
See, yeah, we did defend well. At the risk of sounding never happy, and I don't think I am ever happy, was that we defended well naturally because you're down to 10 men. I think teams naturally just defend a lot better when they're down to 10 men because there's a set game plan to that rather than 11 men and having any kind of emphasis on attacking. It's easier to set up base down to 10 men, you know. Yeah. But we did do great. You've got to give credit when it's due. Adebayor had a few chances, didn't he? But, you know, nothing really to worry us, but it was just going forward.
Yeah.
It was like the game that confirmed that even the spark going forward's gone. We can't even rely on scoring goals. We're either scoring and conceding in equal measure, or not, you know, and then not scoring at the other end and maybe leaking one at the other.
Definitely.
That didn't make any sense, did it?
No, but I think that those two games, I mean, we dropped to 14th at one point, didn't we?
Yeah.
But then those 2 points off Palace and Watford, we bounced back up a couple of places, didn't we? Or even 3 places.
Yeah, we were almost at the bottom of page one at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was getting on the ale, mate.
But then came the Southampton game, which there's probably a little more talk and points of probably a little bit more positivity. He rung the changes for that, didn't he?
He did. I thought that I was really disappointed that day because I thought Kieran Dowell deserved a chance in that team, and he played Leon Osman instead, a player who, you know, shouldn't be here, to be honest. And there's no logic in playing him anymore because I don't want to get on Osman's back. I know a lot of people like him, but, you know, he for me, he should have been sold maybe 7 years ago. But for him, I don't see the rhyme and reason. Dowell has absolutely owned that, his own league, his own campaign for the under-21s, hasn't he? You know, he's done fantastic. I just thought, well, you may be getting the sack here, you might as well go down learning a few things about your youngsters rather than players who, you know, going on a rant about Osman and stuff, but I thought could have just bled the youngsters. We weren't going down.
But even like, even starting over here, he's all right back in that. I know he's brought Pennington back now, but he played centre half the other day. But, I mean, that maybe was a game too soon, and he thought, well, I'm going to play my fringe players, Oviedo, Gibson, Kone. I mean, Darren Gibson, God knows what he does for 6 months, and then he just turns up in the Everton midfield. It's just unbelievable.
Now we've got people wanting him to get a year contract. I just don't get it.
But no one Everton, he'll get that year contract, you know what I mean?
Maybe 2 years.
He might play 8 games next season or something. Do you know what? Darren Gibson could be a hell of a player. He could have been one of the best midfielders at Everton, but he's never going to make it. I think we all need to accept that fact.
No, the spells were in this recent run of games.
Oh, Madrid have scored.
We're watching live. Disallowed.
We're just watching Real Madrid v Man City, by the way.
We're multitasking. Whoever said blokes can't do both was talking shit. You're probably a woman.
We're not being ignorant. But Connolly and Davis got a game, didn't they? They came on second half.
Davis looked a great player.
There was a lot of good things said about that. Obviously, the result and game itself, again, a draw. Not much really to get excited about. Funes Mori scored, but Mane drew them level, drew Saints level.
Well, I think the telling thing about that game was Koeman's reaction at the end of it and Martinez's reaction at the end of it. You know, two managers with completely different expectations for the game. And that was a game where I'd love Koeman at Everton. I'm not Sammy Lee by all means. You know, we can do without a midget and a Liverpool midget on the touchline. But I love the way Southampton play. They play with freedom, don't they? But they also they're hard to break down, and they always look dangerous on the break. Just, you know, there's a few players I'd have at Southampton's team and that Everton team, Mane and stuff like that. Good players.
I agree, I'd have them, I'd have the manager. Honest,
in the scheme of things, without wanting to look like I'm accepting all kinds of shite, it was probably a decent point because Southampton have looked really good lately, haven't they? You know,
it was, you know, if you would have got a win or maybe two from the Watford and Palace games, you'd accept having a 1-1 against Southampton. But I think three draws in a week just sums us up.
The team just looked a bit flat, didn't it? It looked like, you know, like you say, most of the players you started who came in were players you wouldn't want to see in that team next season.
Well, no, Oviedo is made of glass, isn't he? Osman's not one for the future. No. Gibson is, you know, is he putting himself in the window by playing him? Kone, don't get me started. I say the only positives was another Funes Mori goal and Connolly and Davis scoring. But
I said earlier in the podcast before that Funes Mori is having it can be a Lescott type defender in opposing boxes for us. I think he's gets his head on so many balls and he's around the danger zone. He's got like a, I'm not saying it's full, but it's a little striker's instinct he's got, hasn't he, for them situations. You know, it was a good finish as well.
He's not fearful, is he, to put himself in the way, put it that way. But one other thing from that game, Mark, that Kone overhead kick.
I know, fantastic, wasn't it? That was how I went down in Stanley Park then. I fell over the paving stone. It didn't look a lot different, to be honest. do you know what, though? I think everybody just laughed at that, didn't they? You know, if he'd have connected with that and got into the top bin, then you would have seen fakes, not limbs, in the Gladys Street.
Bloody riots on the pitch. We shouldn't laugh at players trying for Everton, but when Kone done that, fucking hell. I think most people got off probably or went and had a pint.
That's just, it, I'm off.
Sums it up. But so we've whizzed through those three games because we don't want people to switch off already.
No, don't switch off. There's loads to come.
Trust me, there's a lot more to come. So we had three successive draws after the United defeat at Old Trafford, which was the last time we recorded a podcast. Hardly, you know, those four results in themselves just I don't know, they left us just lifeless, didn't they? If we felt terrible after the United game, we didn't feel much better after those three draws, did we?
No, absolutely not. We haven't felt good for a long one. And then if we can whiz through this next bit even quicker, that would be ideal.
It's hardly going to boost our excitement talking about the next two games, but just to talk about the derby, onto the derby next, Mark.
I think Everton Chainsaw Massacre comes into it. It was just an absolute free buffet.
It was just...
It looked alright for 10-15 minutes, though. They always do it, Everton, where I think, Christ, we can have these here, we look great. Morales was having a go, alright, the shot was awful that he put in the Anfield Road end. But we looked okay in possession, didn't look like we were panicking. Then we looked decent going forward. I thought, you know, Lennon was having a little impact. I thought, Christ, if these aren't up for it, we can maybe get beat here. No, we can get a point or better.
With a 1-0 defeat. But then,
as quickly as it opened, it was like someone had opened the hatch on a ship, and the water just started to come in.
But the worrying thing for me was that Liverpool didn't even have to play that well.
I actually think Liverpool went easy on us.
Yeah, I honestly think they didn't really have to get out of second gear. No. I mean, some of the goals were absolute gifts. I mean, especially the one just on half time. But I agree. To be honest, we settled down to our first beer and think to yourself, actually, we look all right here. We look half decent. We could really, you know, and like you could say, surprise us for once. But
it's not like Origi should be winning that header at the far post with Stones. As soon as
that goes in, the floodgates opened, and it was inevitable in the end that it was going to be a heavy scoreline. It was just a case of how many. But I think Joe Robles probably kept the score down.
He did. Over 40 shots on goal.
Obviously the Funes Mori incident, and then it just added to our woes in
and
the second
sort of
half.
Misplaced loyalty and enthusiasm that you have for the badge. You do that after you score. Or you keep a clean sheet or get a valuable point somewhere.
It wasn't exactly a proud moment, was it?
No, he's kind of misjudged that, I think. I like the guy, but he's just completely misjudged that moment, isn't he?
Well, we had the Sturridge and Coutinho goals as well in the second half.
Yeah, and I think we ended up with McCarthy and Bessage at centre-half.
McCarthy and Bessage at centre-half. Stones went off with stomach pain. Barry went off injured.
Yeah.
Pienaar ends up coming off.
Coming on. Random. It's like, where's Wally? It's just like random players saying, this
that's
has one season.
It's like Gibson though, isn't it? It's the same goes with him.
I haven't seen him all year.
He ends up getting a game.
And Pienaar has vanished as quickly as he arrived. You know, we haven't seen him since.
What sums it up there, I mean, I think we've probably spoken off about that game without reaching for
we
the
got murdered.
What sums it up was that the footage of Barkley coming off and the way it panned to the kid crying in the away end, and I just thought,
I think the kid
get any worse than this.
The kid crying was replicated in Barkley's body language, no question. I think that could easily have been Ross Barkley, age 14, in the crowd crying that way. I think I can imagine him. It was heartbreaking, wasn't it? It was like Barkley was looking at him going, I know this. He was not looking at the kid, but he was on his face was, I know this isn't good enough.
He didn't, it was almost like he wanted to walk to the fans and just get in the crowd.
Say, I'm sorry.
And
that was the impression he gave. You can tell his, you know, we've seen footage of what went on in the semi-final at half time. You can tell this lad's really maybe too sensitive for a footballer. You know, he's not thick-skinned,
he's still very young, and he, you know, the lad's earning a lot of money, but I think when you hear him in an interview, you can see his immaturity, shall we say.
Yeah, yeah.
And he might be mature as a man and as a footballer, but in terms of personality, he's still quite, could be a bit naive, sensitive, and the way football is and the way Evertonians are.
He looked like one of us walking off the pitch, gutted, because of my blues, and you know, you want to do your best.
He's taken every sigh and every boo and every disapproving glance personally.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it's all aimed at him, and it was a sorry sight. I never feel sorry for someone who earns that amount of money, but I did feel sorry for Ross Barkley coming off at the derby, and I think that moment, that clip, just sums it up.
Yeah,
it just sums up being an Evertonian, I think, in recent times.
A kid and absolute bits.
Yeah, and absolutely apologetic. Effort. Another apologetic effort at Anfield, and it just added to our woes. And it just, again, this month, there's not been any shining lights, really. Obviously,
the only shining lights I've had to get me through is the hold up madness. I'll be sacked on the Monday morning.
Yeah.
I'll be straight. Every Monday, you go, fuck. Maybe by first break, they'll have got rid of him. And that's the only thing. And then Britain off. Then I'm working the next 2 hours. Then dinner break. So has he gone? Yeah. No. It's like that.
Yeah.
I've sort of lost interest in.
Yeah.
Anything else, Kieran Dowell aside, I've got excited about him and Tom Davies, but that was it, you know. But, you know, it's just fucking. It's just been far too much. It's just been nothing else there. I do feel like if we hadn't had any kind of start to the season, we could quite easily have done a Villa bit.
I think so. You know, without some of the away form, the earlier results, Lukaku's goals, I know it's a big if, but we'd be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, totally agree.
And, I don't know, the day after that derby, I wrote our chances off at Wembley, and maybe I shouldn't have done, but because second half at Wembley, we were good, but I just wrote any hope off, and I sat there feeling sick on the Thursday, to be honest.
You sort of don't want anything to do with it. You love your club, and it's a natural instinct to want to find out, but you said, fuck it. No, all they're doing is causing me pain and misery.
Party, party. So, and I'm just thinking, when's this ever going to change? When's the theme going to change? Then, obviously, it's all the fallout from the derby, and it's unacceptable. Sack him now, some people are saying. If you were never going to sack him after the derby with Wembley on the Saturday.
I was one of them, desperate for him to go before that. I thought it would have given us a huge boost.
But Saturday at Wembley.
Yeah.
Again,
I mean,
if Wednesday night sucked the life out of us, then, you know, that last minute at Wembley. You know, people will take heart from our second half performance, but
I thought the second half performance, without that, again, miserable. I thought the players took it upon themselves more than anything. Because in the first half, I thought that showed Everton under a bit of madness. We were, you know, there wasn't, Lukaku had a chance when he went through, didn't he? An awful first touch, denied him a goal. But I just thought that it was lifeless. United weren't much better than us, but if anyone was going to score, it was going to be them.
Yeah.
Just thought for the FA Cup semi-final to turn up like that, not lay a glove on United. And I know they've beaten us twice in the league this season, but they're not a great United team. Someone who Leicester City would certainly fancy playing, you know.
That's the way.
If you look at Leicester's approach to the game at Old Trafford the other day when they got a point, you know, it was miles apart from the way we played.
I think it was tough to watch, and I thought it's only going to go one way. Yeah, we did see a reaction second half. We missed a penalty, but then we got ourselves back into it.
Yeah.
And then we were largely the better side.
I thought we'd done great to come back in after the penalty miss. But I think
that passage of play with Martial scoring the winner, that's what we're susceptible for. So we might look, oh, actually, this is what Everton are capable of going forward, getting themselves back into the game, looking like there's only going to be one team winning. Then conceding in the 90 whatever minute and just
90
capitulating and then, again.
So anything good about it translates into nothing because we can't defend. We're suicidally high up the pitch, weren't we, going for it?
Yeah.
I actually thought if we'd have got to extra time, we had a great chance of winning it in extra time. But
yeah.
Dalafo was getting on the ball, running, and he was causing a bit of trouble. And
it would have been a real opportunity, wouldn't it, against Crystal Palace there for Solaway.
Would have been a huge opportunity.
And it just makes it, you know, if you get into the final and you're going to be facing Liverpool or City or someone like that, you think, some people would say, we would have got beaten the final anyway. But looking at that there, it was going to be Watford or Palace.
Yeah.
You
just think.
Again, it's within touching distance though, again, isn't it?
Again, 21, 22 years now, and touching distance just doesn't cut it anymore, does it? There's people out there I can't believe who consider it an achievement to get to a semi-final and finals, you know, semi-finals. You might as well get knocked out in the third round for me if you're going to go out in the semi-final.
Yeah.
It means nothing.
It's not an achievement, is it?
People
will point the finger and say, well, you know, never mind the league form this season, he has got us to two semi-finals, but I'd rather him get us to two finals. And win one of them or win the both of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, then I would maybe accept the fact that we finished in the bottom half for the second year on the run. But I still can't get my head around that. Last year, Europa League, I was prepared to write it off to domestic campaign and say,
you
know, we've had a go in Europe, albeit, you know, we came to a crashing end. But this season, for me, no excuses at all.
No excuses whatsoever. And it's just been piss poor management from Martinez. The players have not bought into whatever he's trying to do. They haven't. The tempo of the play. It's not just that, Mark. The results are bad. It's the absolute stinking on their arse performances. There's no life. There's no character. There's no. We let teams put the pipe and slippers on before they start knocking it about.
There seems to be no fitness.
There's no players blowing. Still blowing. And what are we now named with Meg?
Yeah.
You know. It's been staggering what's going on. I can't believe more. Just think, I don't know. You can almost expect more players to speak out about it because we have been that bad.
Midfielders chasing shadows. Midfielders knackered after 20 minutes, right? Even though there's about six midfielders on the pitch.
Niasse, right, what's happened with Niasse? I get these apologies telling me he's not fit. Well, I said, well, why hasn't he played in the under-21 game then? You're paying 30 million quid for a player here. He's got rid of Naismith. It wasn't one of my favourites, but he's got rid of a first team player who would have played on.
Yeah.
Got rid of him to make way for someone who still isn't fit after 4 months of being here.
Stephen Naismith would have played wherever you want him to play, and he would have ran his ass off every single game, which he did for Everton.
Yeah, yeah.
He wasn't everyone's cup of tea, he was not by no means a glamour player, but he would have ran his ass off.
I agree.
And he sold him. They bought
that combination of this, beautiful, Yorkshire next week.
they bought this lad in. Well, anyway, he's a point for eight.
Is he further down? Oh yeah, sorry. We've got eight pages here.
Oh man, the arse. You're a topic in yourself.
He's getting called out with West Ham Central.
Yeah, he's getting called well and truly out. 13 million. Anyway, it was again more heartache. The footage of Jagielka at half time goes back to the Ross Barkley discussion. We did improve second half, but Mark, that Sunday, I felt lost with football.
I did,
honestly,
yeah.
To be honest, a couple of weeks has passed since then. Well, not quite 2 weeks, but you know, I've calmed down a lot. But I just felt
anyone who watched that semi-final Palace Watford for me is a bit of a sadist. I couldn't even face that game. Well, I didn't want to know it, you know. I buried myself in Italian football or something, you know. I could still watch, but it's like I'm not watching the team we should have been playing or you know, anything to do with that cup competition.
I was brewing on it, and I've been unwell and off sick, so I've had a lot more time to think and stuff. But and then I watched them on Saturday, which we'll come to the Bournemouth game as well. And I have calmed down an awful lot. None of my views have changed, but I have just tried to calm myself down.
You do find yourself reining it in, yeah, because it affects everything else then, doesn't
it? I thought to myself, I thought, you can't go on like this, getting depressed and you know, throwing all your toys out the pram and not wanting to speak to anyone and not wanting to go on social media. Like a big kid, you know what I mean? But that's what Everton do to me. And I felt, on that Sunday, I felt like just at sea with all of it. I was like, they're not going to sack him. You're not going to change our fans' mentality. We're never going to win it, and that's it. And exactly. I'm just going to have to keep getting used to these disappointments. But it's those disappointments that just drive me away, honestly.
Completely agree. I tweeted that's it, well done, Everton. You've just, by not sacking him, and not even addressing nothing, not even backing him, nothing. Nothing on the club, no respect whatsoever for the clear... All right, albeit on social media, I'm not sure, you know, if that extends to everyone, but it should do. The clear hysteria amongst the fan base at the moment, they haven't attempted to not even if they're backing the guy. They've done nothing.
The silence is deafening.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Ridiculous.
And after the United game, people were saying, oh, well, there'll be an announcement. Some of people were saying on the Sunday he's being sacked. And you'll find out soon. It's just a case of when, not if.
Yeah.
It's done. Nothing.
And so many
again,
people are saying...
10 days later, we're sitting here and we know nothing more about the manager's position. He's had a press conference. Yeah, we've won a game, but then we've had a sit-in protest.
Yeah.
We've had all the press speculating about
it. I think he got one question asked about his future.
Yeah.
One. Now, this has got to stop. The Echo and all that, they just know no shame in holding back, do they? They don't care. They're well in with the club. Prentice is going on yachts with fucking Ken Wright and everyone. Or, you know, whatever. I'm just making stuff up now. But there's pictures of him. There's pictures of him sitting next to Ken Wright watching something. You can tell he's up his ass. So it's like, you know, I'm just shooting and I'm just shooting ducks in a barrel.
But to be fair, Mark, I think since that, the Baines quotes thing, the tide has slightly changed with the Liverpool Echo.
Yeah.
Now I'm as big a critic as you are about them, but I feel that some of their reporting has now changed and they have started to question a lot more. They're also reporting about rumours who could potentially replace Martinez.
Yeah.
I don't think we would have seen this a while ago, but I think Everton and Martinez called the Echo out and said the sort of Baines was misquoted. Well, he wasn't. They asked them, I think, in the tunnel after the United game, and he gave them quotes. They printed the quotes and that was that. The Echo of sort of being caught in the crossfire with it. Honest, that's my honest opinion, and I think that they were just doing the job for once. And they've done it, and Everton, it doesn't sit well with Everton.
No.
And I don't know whether that's strained the relationship between the club and the Echo.
Maybe that's because it's always been arranged that the club are in the Echo are in their pockets.
I also think I've seen it myself, a change in mentality with some of them journos on Twitter as well, what they're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll always get the lovies who are on the freebies and on Ken Wright's payroll or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But I honestly do believe, you won't get me saying this a lot, that the Echo have slightly sort of changed their reporting and outlook.
I hope
since.
So, but I still think they could do a little bit more. You know, this it's atrocious.
Oh, of course, yeah, and I'm not saying that all's forgotten.
Yeah.
And Everton's rosy in the garden, but...
No, I mean, I'm talking with pressure on Martinez. It shouldn't be pressure, it should be two breeze blocks tied to his ankles. I'm joking, but you get what I'm saying? There's no way he should still be there.
Well, after that United game, Mark.
Yeah.
As I say, that week was a dark week for a lot of Evertonians, but I would say not all Evertonians, but I would say a lot of us probably thought there might be a bit of light at the end of this gloom by him actually getting sacked or walking away and saying, look, we're going to put someone in charge at the end of the season and then we're going to look to recruit a manager, we're going to draw up a shortlist and that's it. And then I would feel like a weight has been lifted.
Yeah.
Martinez can get on with his life, we can all get on with our lives.
Yeah.
But it simply hasn't happened. And then the press conference, people were going on rumours about there's going to be a press conference here about his job, it's going to get announced then. The next thing, he's there, 9 o'clock, Finch Farm, Thursday morning. All right, Roberto, so, you know, what about these planned protests? What about your home form? And this and that, and he's gone, well, you know, I think we're developing every season. I think, you know,
quite clearly going
on the protest, football is nothing without passion we understand our fans make us what we are, you know, it's a testament to the club. Just all this political bollocks.
Yeah.
Two or three questions from, I think, two different journals. I think that's the most of them probably thought that he would have been sacked by now.
Yeah.
Next thing, team news. We're all there, good to some parts.
It's like Paul Mason, he clicks his fingers and then everything's all right again. And in that interview, Paul Mason said, you think there's something all kinds wrong, and then he said something, and then it's true. You just maybe even bamboozles journalists who maybe should be a lot more hell bent on nailing him, but they're not. It's just he just bamboozles people. He's maybe like Paul McKenna.
Who was it? Robbie Earle. Even Robbie Earle in midweek said, you know, Martinez, if he was a weatherman, he'd be telling you it's sunny all the time, even though it's lashing down.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
You use that analogy all the time,
yeah.
What you're saying. Robbie Earle, I caught Robbie Earle saying that on some dodgy stream the other day. Kevin Campbell and Andy Inchcliffe are on Sky Sports saying they think he's going to leave and he'll be replaced. There's been so many different pundits, former players, journalists, yeah. Now.
I think
now
Kale as well has hinted as
yeah,
well.
Probably Twitter. Seeing through Roberto Martinez.
Yeah.
And I'm not for 1 minute saying he's a horrible man, he's a snide or whatever, but I think there's a lot, when people call him a fraud, I think there is a lot of fakeness about what he says and does.
Yeah.
A lot of papering over the cracks and, you know, positivity, when in reality we want realism,
yeah,
truth and honesty.
Yeah, because otherwise it looks like you haven't got a handle on what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, if you're constantly saying things are great, or things are better, or things are we're improving year on year, despite us quite clearly slipping down that league table year on year, then you lose credibility completely, because people think, does he either knows what's going on and he's denying it, or he has no idea at all.
Yeah.
Which is makes it 10 times more frightening to have him in charge.
Definitely. You and know. I think these are the things, like, it's like when you go on Twitter, it's like what I envisage, like a globe of just constant questioning, rumours, speculation, and confusion, and no one sort of shedding any light on it.
No.
There's no fan liaison, there's, you know,
the director of media
communications or whoever, Darren Griffiths and that, they don't want to know. No one from the club is answering any questions. The fans forum are too close to the club to answer them. So what it's left to the likes of people going on Collymore, people going on Five Live, people sitting in front rooms like we are. Again,
yeah.
It is though. It's always the malaise of Evertonians just fucking
just put us out of
putting their heads together and going, well, what's going to happen?
And then people are asking other people who have equally no idea what's going on.
Yeah,
and people are almost begging for answers. The amount of Evertonians who refreshed Twitter and gone, has he gone yet? Has he gone yet? Has he gone yet? You know, I could quite clearly.
Or what have you heard?
We're sort of scratching around looking for any information that he's on his way.
The amount of people who've said to me, I've heard he's gone.
I've heard he's gone.
And I'm like, what? Well, you know, everyone's been saying that for the past 10 days, and I just don't know what. I honestly don't know what the club are thinking.
They know this is going on.
They can't be blind to the fact that half of social media is having a meltdown.
Yeah.
And I'm not having it where people are saying, well, you know, it's only
social
people
media
on Twitter who want him gone, because the people I speak to in work and on the street,
there's
thousands of Evertonians who now want him gone. And I'm not saying all Evertonians want him gone, but and people will come to that protest as well.
Yeah.
People say, I was only a few people at the protest, but I think that there's a lot of people who are disgusted with him now and have their eyes have been opened to Everton and how poor we are. But the thing is, Mark, we've been talking about this for more than a month.
Easy.
For more, probably 18 months on and off. I remember the Stoke and Arsenal game that week, and you and a lot of other fans lost their head and was like, he's got to go, he's got to go. But last season, I was prepared to give him till the end of the season because of the European involvement.
Yeah.
But you lost your head, and we're talking 13, 14 months ago, Mark.
Easily. I've changed jobs since then. I wish he had.
Yeah.
No, but you're like, though, you just, it's just gone on and on and on and on. We've been allowed to drift down. We've been allowed to watch piss poor performances. He's wrecked an entire home season. Let's have it right. Mm. The amount of times the Blues have gone home pissed off, angry, fed up, Cat, how many cats have got booted this season? Must be off the scale, or off the tail. But it's just been allowed to go on for far too long. And this month, despite the bath overflowing and the water coming through the fucking floorboards, the club still haven't called a plumber. I just can't turn that bath off.
That sums it up. I'll go get the mop. So anyway, we were going to come to Martinez in a minute, but we've just wiped the floor.
Let's not, he's pissed me right off.
But the Bournemouth game, the most recent game, let's be honest, a little bit of positivity there, Mark. We did say that we're not going to have all this negativity. To be honest, we won Saturday, and we won at Goodison. It hasn't happened often this season. That was our fifth win.
Predicted it on Sky Sports Super 6, and about 10 people tweeted me going, "You predicted a home win." I said, "I'm still desperadoed up from last night. That's the only reason I went for it." So maybe I should get on the air a lot more on a Friday.
So going into the game, Umar Niass gets a start.
It was a good job I was still pissed, to be honest, to watch him.
Niass started.
Oh, God.
Howard returned. Now, to be fair, I'd see why Tim Howard's been given the last two on games.
I don't know whether Everton have beaten the life out of me lately, but I just wasn't asked that he was in goal. I kind of get it, he's going.
I think he's nearing 400 appearances, isn't he?
I think possibly the next game will be the 400 point or
fair play. You know, let's not bitch about Tim Howard. Fair play, he come back into the side, and you know, rightly so, he's gonna go out on a high, say, playing for Everton, which he has done for a number of years, so fair enough. Matthew Pennington started the back with young John Stones.
Liked him.
And he done well, didn't he, to be honest?
Yeah, very composed on the ball. I think he got Coventry City Player of the Year, or Young Player of the Year, when he was there last season. You can see he's a good player. He's almost a lot like Jax, isn't he? When Jax, that type of player, you know, composed on the ball, doesn't panic, gets into good positions. I thought he'd done great.
He's definitely one for the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Galloway's been injured. I was going to say, I don't know what's happened to Galloway, Browning, and... Yeah, I don't know what's going on with this Mason Holgate, but I think Galloway's been injured, to be fair, even though he's meant to be a centre half, isn't he?
Yeah.
But Pennington came in because there's no one else there, is there?
No.
Barry's injured.
Murray's off.
Murray's
kissing badges.
Obviously, he's still suspended. Jagielka has aggravated that injury. Fair play to Phil Jagielka for playing through the pain.
Yeah.
In the semi final, by the way.
Absolutely.
Because he had no right to play, did he? To be honest, in terms of fitness. So he's out. I think a lot of us probably thought Tony Ibbett was maybe going to get a start centre half, but
that was just a bit ridiculous. All that, to be honest, I don't know whether it was a piss take or it was just Evertonians being Evertonians. The worship was frankly ridiculous.
But the thing is, I don't get why.
I get Tony Ibbett's a good servant, but he's always been a limited right back.
But I don't get why he's starting. Why is he starting Mo Bezic right back then if Ibbett's fit to play?
I know.
Because if it's a right back, isn't he? And he'll throw a tackle in. I know you'd probably say he's past it and you're critical, but...
But he is a right back.
Yeah, Mo Bezic isn't a right back though, is he?
No,
so
he's
why
flat
play
right.
him and then take him off at half time? Unless he's injured as well.
Oh, but Bezic didn't look pretty poor, to be honest. But he's out of position, so...
Yeah.
I know it carried on his poor form against, I can't remember at home, Arsenal at home. He had a nightmare, didn't he? But it's not going to do his confidence any good, is it? Sticking him out of position. You know, but then damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. There's probably a million people who fume it to a hip and started, including me.
Another one was from that. Baines played his 500th league game.
Yeah.
Premier League game, which was an excellent milestone. And ironically, that he ended up going on to get the winner. But before that, it was a lively start, wasn't it? Tom Cleverley scored on 7 minutes, and it was a great goal, wasn't it?
Very good goal.
It was something we probably don't see enough from Tom Cleverley.
He's got that in his locker, and we knew that because when he scored against Villa for us last season, nice footwork on the edge of the box, and it was like Stephen Naismith's goal against Chelsea earlier on in the season. It reminded me. Really good finish, left foot as well.
Then in typical fashion, went up the other end, and to be fair, it was a foul on Pennington all day.
I couldn't believe it. I was sat in front of it, and it was the clearest push you will ever see of him. And the linesman looked right at it and didn't give it. And he may have got assaulted after it.
It was blatant, and it was a scrappy goal to give away, but it was a blatant foul. But when that went in, we probably thought, it's same old, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But to be honest, there wasn't an awful lot to shout about the rest of the game. There was chances, both sides had half a chance here and there. Yeah. Second half, Hibbert came on. I thought the winner from Baines was a classic goal.
Great goal.
When you look at the build up, Tony Hibbert won it, didn't he?
Yeah.
With a Hibbert-esque tackle, and then there was a few neat passes, and I was glad that Barkley had a major role to play in it, to be honest.
Yeah, nice fly through, wasn't it? I think to Lennon.
Yeah, eventually, Barkley saw the ball twice, didn't he? But a 1-2.
Yeah.
Fed it wide to Lennon on the right, and then his ball across was so inviting.
Superb. And Baines has finished at the far post. Yeah. It was clinical, you'd expect him to finish from there.
Leighton Baines' first outfield goal for 3 years, apparently.
That is stunning.
I haven't even wrote that one down. I read that.
I couldn't even tell you that was against.
No.
But like you say, free kicks and penalties have been pretty much it for Baines.
Well, I
thought his celebration said a lot. It was almost like, we're sorry.
Yeah.
That's what I got from his. It wasn't over elaborate. It wasn't mad.
Or is that just because he's that cool? He just gives a thumbs up to the brother's seat.
Maybe, yeah. Go and get the guitar, Leighton.
Go and get the
guitar. You've scored.
Go and get the guitar. Look at my hair.
Yeah, maybe a bit of both. But it looked almost like a consolation goal. It was that type of celebration, wasn't it?
Well, I thought, you know.
Really good finish, though. Yeah.
It was just nice to win, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was nice to win. Pennington was a positive. Nias got a run out. Hibbert came back. Stones, I thought, was impressive.
Yeah.
I think Stones, especially the second half of the semi-final, he dragged Everton forward.
Yeah, excellent.
And he's looked back to his old self.
Yeah,
he's only a kid.
A lot more like, that's how good he is, the way I'm referring back like that, you know.
Definitely.
But he's been pivotal, really.
I thought he was good again Saturday. No doubt, probably against Leicester on Saturday.
Yeah.
Funes Mori will come back in, but to be honest, I would be glad to see Pennington get another start.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Leicester are not going to be. They're going to be still pissed, I think.
Jamie Vardy's having a party, isn't he?
Absolutely. Yeah.
They're not going to be overly concerned, are they?
No, of course.
Don't get me wrong. They'll still want to finish on a high. But
unreal achievement, by the way. It's just that incredible.
We need to come to Leicester as well. Definitely. Once you've put the kettle on. It was a nice win. Obviously, it doesn't really take us anywhere in the league, but it gives us probably a bit of touch and distance and hope. The fact that if we do win our last three games, we might finish in a more respectable finish, which finishing the top half would be more respectable in itself, wouldn't it?
But it's like bittersweet, isn't it? You know, we think it'll be respectable, but it's just ultimately been an awful season. I'm losing interest as to where we're going to finish, to be honest.
Right, well, before you go on another rampage, right, we're going to stop and have a cup of tea because I'm spitting feathers here. we'll come to Leicester in a minute, but we need to really have a little chat about Roberto in a bit more depth, just about the protests, a few other things that are going on, and then there's a lot of other business to finish off with. Quite a lot of random stuff, so
yeah,
like a roller coaster of news there, isn't it? Yeah, I get a professional.
We're like a pure magazine now. We'll do the one show, we'll have the FA Cup draw on next.
We cover about 12 games and all the other stuff that goes with it, but to be honest, I think it shows how much happens when you're an Evertonian, how much news and sort of views and stuff that goes on. This is just like 3 weeks worth of content.
Yeah, I mean, it's never ending. The iceberg is the tip of the iceberg, isn't it?
I think if we didn't have lives, we got together every week, we'd not have enough to talk about, would we?
No, give it 3 weeks and you're looking at reams of Everton news, none of it good.
So we'll be back in a minute when Mark's got the bruise in and hopefully some biscuits, and then we'll cover the rest of the items on the agenda. See you in a minute.
See you in a bit.
Hello and welcome back to the Everton Fan Focus podcast. We've had our cup of tea.
Yeah. Some Jaffa cakes.
Some Jaffa cakes on a Lion Bar. It's like Alan Myers' tea party all over again. And we're going to talk now about, well, I wanted to ask you about the protest, Mark, because I wasn't there Saturday. But I wanted to get your opinion on that because you were there. And we've already spoken about Martinez, but I think maybe just expand on our views about it. Rather than just rant about the season, just give our personal views on what should happen next.
Absolutely. Well, for a start, I want to get out of the... I thought the process was... I'm not talking about the car park. I don't even know what happened to the car park, to be honest with you.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
As I think you just got asked, but the protest at Underground, I thought was extremely well organised. I thought it was respectful. It was well done, and it was the right way to do a protest like that. And I thought, all right, a lot of people got off. I'm not entirely sure all of them are happy with the way things are going, but maybe lacked a bit of, I think you need a little bit of courage to do something like that as well, or have something.
Couldn't
in
wait
you.
To get to the
you
pub.
Know, like, yeah, you've got to be in it. You know, like me, who probably loves ranting too much, then that's no problem. But it's like, you know, yeah, couldn't wait to get to the pub. Not happy, but.
Or maybe couldn't wait to get home because they've got to travel.
Spot so on, you don't know people's. Exactly, yeah. But I thought the protest went well. What I thought it was active with class, which, if I can have a little rant, was far more than the club showed. Blasting the music out. So to drown out the fans' protests is more of something you would associate with sort of, you know, a dictatorship rather than a football club.
Well, didn't Bill Kenwright once say every fan has a right to protest?
Yeah, and I didn't once see in that sentence, including the words, but we will turn the tannoy up no matter what. You know, and also it was what they were putting on the tannoy. They were playing Kendall's funeral song and Everton-related songs, you know, that acted more of a piss take, to be honest, rather than, you know, turn the volume right up, Stewart's got snotty with fans, go home and all this and stuff like that. But no, everyone stood their ground. I was there for an hour, but there was people who were there for a lot longer than I was. For an Everton protest, I thought it was quite good, to be honest, the turnout. A lot of people stayed. Not enough for me, but a lot, you know, yeah.
Well, it definitely got into the spotlight, and I think that was the aim of it.
Absolutely.
From, shall we say, an outsider point of view, it was Everton Art Week on Twitter that sort of insinuated the argument, the protest. But to be honest, there's been a lot of ill feeling and people wanting to probably do something, make a statement.
Just needed a little catalyst.
Yeah, and I thought, as I say, I wasn't there myself. I couldn't make the game, but I thought it was very. It was well run in the fact that it was agreed that nothing would happen during the game to affect what happens on the pitch,
exactly,
which in itself is respectful.
You lose credibility with the people who were against the protest.
And probably would have caused a lot of disharmony in the ground 100%. Amongst fans. So it was their choice to stay behind. They weren't telling people that they had to stay behind with them. They stood with the banners, they sung the songs, they stood the ground, they got their message across. Yeah, I think probably people involved probably would have wanted more people to stay.
There's
probably a numerous reasons why people didn't get involved. A lot of people I've heard say it's not the Everton way and it's embarrassing and things like that.
For me, that's like just acceptance, though. We need to be better than that.
To me, where it says it's embarrassing or you don't represent me, I think the fans involved, I mean, I'm not speaking for them, but the fans involved, well, you were involved, so I'm not speaking for you.
Yeah.
The perception, my perception is, none of you guys are saying we represent the Everton fan base. We're just saying we represent ourselves. We're disgruntled, we're disheartened with what's happening.
Yeah.
And we want to make some noise about this, you know, what's going on with this manager and this club.
What's wrong with wanting better? I don't get it. I just don't get the whole, you know, we're entitled to protest. We weren't disrupting anything because the game finished. You know, it was fine to do it in that way. Just don't get why people got so upset about it. There's nothing.
Well, if I was at that game, no one's advising me what to do. But personal choice, I probably would. I would have stood there at the end and you know, basically showing my disapproval with my feet by standing there.
Yeah,
I'm not saying shouting at the manager abuse, which the protest didn't. They sung songs.
Yeah,
but after it, like the video clip of it in the car park, where Martinez was like mafia style hushed into a car and driven away, I think that was a bit, it was blown out of proportion. I think people are saying he just doesn't deserve abuse.
Grabbed onto.
Yeah, people, he doesn't deserve abuse, which I would not call that abuse, but yeah, I would say he probably doesn't deserve to be shouted at. Maybe, I don't know if he was with his family or whoever he's with. I didn't like to see it get to that point. But for me, the only people to blame that it's got to this point...
The board?
...is the board.
I thought I've completely hung him out to dry. Now, it's even got me feeling sorry for the guy. He's wrecked the whole season. But
tell us whether we're going to review the manager's position at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Whether, no, we're fully back Roberto and he's staying in a job.
Yeah.
Or sack him. Do something, just don't do nothing. Because this will happen against Norwich... This will happen throughout the summer. People will be more and more vocal. I'm not saying they'll have matches to protest that, but the banners were creeped in at the beginning of April.
Yeah.
The protests have creeped in. The press are turning. The rumours are turning.
Exactly.
And where's it going to go? There's only one group of people who can
alleviate that
this situation.
It's like
and
an
that is the
expanding balloon that won't pop, and eventually it will.
It's the Everton board, and... All too often do they sit in their ivory tower in London, wherever they are. This goes for Farhad Moshiri as well. He's part of it now.
He's not. He hasn't impressed me at all. I hope he does in the summer, but yeah, as of yet.
Give us some clarification, because it's got to the point now where every single press conference Martinez has given, the fans are absolutely laughing their heads off at it.
Yeah.
Shaking the head to it.
He's almost become a joke figure now, hasn't he?
Yeah, it is, though, isn't it? It's like no one will take the man seriously.
No.
And with all due respect, something needs to be done about it before this turns nasty. And I thought on Saturday was the first signs of it turning nasty.
Yeah.
In that car park, some of the things that are being said or whatever.
Man has got ushered out the front, down the sort of paddock side, out of the back of the ground, you know. So, I mean... I'm not sure that was the best thing, but he certainly seen the protest that was going on. You know, maybe he's being a little bit stubborn, which we all know he's got that, or defiant in walking out that way.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of managers would have took the back door on that one. But
again, I'm not saying to speak for anyone involved, but my opinion is I'm not having it where people are saying, oh, those 100 people who stayed behind to protest, or those people who are filling in polls on Twitter or Toffee Web or something. The minority. I every single Evertonian I speak to at the moment, and I don't mean on Twitter, on the street, in my family, friends,
at work,
all want this manager gone, and they all want clarification from the club.
Yeah.
They want answers, and we just don't get them.
And then you've got the front of the club asking for season tickets to be bought and making up phony rumours that the demand is hot. You know, absolutely.
The website crashed last night.
Oh, yeah. Because the demand's raging.
I think I've seen a tumbleweed across the fucking box office there today.
Absolutely embarrassing. No one at the box office at all was there in that picture that was posted on Twitter. I know that, you know, could be taken in isolation, but, you know, we're not exactly given the impression that the things are on the up. Things aren't on the up. Mm. Things couldn't be lower, could they? Let's face it. And the club, propaganda again. Like with the protest photos. Good job we had so much social media going around with different... fan views and phones taken with photos, because they showed the true amount of the protest. Ken Wright made to the media, tried to paint it as a very small number. They pointed...
Well, there was a picture at 10 past 6.
Lowest ebb. Yeah. Why didn't it show at 10 past 5?
Yeah.
You know, it's all propaganda, Goebbels. I'll tell you, got nothing on this lot. Nothing. Magnificent 7.
But I honestly think, there's been comments from Kevin Ratcliffe, who said it's mimicking other clubs, and fair enough. I get where some Evertonians say it's not our way, flying planes is embarrassing and what have you, or you know, it's certain behaviour, or it's copying other people. But the thing is, there's that much acceptance at Everton. When does it stop? When do people actually say, well, hang on, I want to do something about it rather than sitting on my laptop on Twitter hashtagging stuff? I'm actually going to go and protest with my feet, or protest with my wallet by staying away, or actually hold up a banner, or actually say something.
Do something.
There seems to be no honesty in Everton. It's all too nicey-nice.
Yeah, and there's far too many fans enabling it by saying nothing and having zero emotion attached to it. They'll think, I'm convinced, a lot of people, well, I know a lot of people, certainly in work, think, oh, this is going to go away. They think, alright, we'll get the season over with. It's been a nightmare, but let's forget it. Let's not think about what's gone on the last 3 years, 2 years even. And in the summer, we'll sign Aguero or someone like that, and it'll be all great again. You know, we'll all be Bobby's army. I went, but this conversation I had today, I wanted to spontaneously combust there and then. It was like, what the hell? I almost wish I lived in their world so I didn't have to feel this pain or this anger or this indifference. I wish I could just go about it. Ignorance is bliss. But I don't know what it takes for certain Evertonians. I think it would take Ken Wright to bulldoze down the Gladys Street in a Liverpool draped JCB for them to even acknowledge something. I just don't know what you can say. The Ken Wright effect over 20 years or whatever, nearly, has done a marvellous job on some of these fans. I don't get it. You care about your club, but you don't want to see them do better. In fact, you're choosing to criticise fans who want better. What does that make you then if you're having a go at people who want better for your club?
Yeah.
Someone caring for your mum and you're having a go at them, saying, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
You're out of order for doing that. Oh, it's my head's gonna go.
Let me go and get the fire extinguisher. Them Jaffa cakes have gone to your head.
Too much sugar, definitely.
Honestly, I think people, like you say, I have conversations today, people go, oh, we're like, you know, we've got money to spend in the summer, we'll come back again, Martinez this, Ken Wright that. And I'm just going, but the proof is in the pudding. You've all been Evertonians for 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, 70 years. This ideology and mentality of, oh, it'll be all right next summer, it'll be out next season. It's not though, is it?
No.
Because then we find ourselves getting knocked out at Wembley and getting tonked at Anfield. And finishing in the bottom half again next season. They'll be like, oh, it's all right, give Martinez another year. He's only had 4 years. Give him another year. You know, we're accepting to Everton. Yeah. We're patient to Everton. Well,
we don't sack managers.
I'm not patient. No. I haven't got the patience anymore to wake up on a Thursday morning after getting tonked by our rivals and then go to Wembley and get beat in the last minute by a poor Man United side who beat us 3 times this season and see kids half my age and younger crying their eyes out.
Yeah.
And seeing men older than me and women crying their eyes out because, again, Everton have failed them.
Yet again, another conversation is won by somebody else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, like you say, the patience or with tolerance. For me, the tolerance has run out. There's 15 the last time I've seen us win a trophy. And that's even if you include the Charity Shield, which was after. It was still before my 16th birthday. And a lot of people forget the Charity Shield was actually the last trophy we won, not the FA Cup. Yeah. But, you know, semantics, Vinny Samways. But I could put a comb through my hair then, Matt. I could buy gel. These days, it's more of an airport runway that's going on. So I have to... The patience is gone.
That's where the protest planes get parked on your end.
100%, yeah. Just, yeah, I rent it out over weekend.
It's on it. I was on Twitter on Saturday.
But literally, when I said the plane's on me, I meant that.
The plane's on its way and then it's going round. It's going round under some, you know, time to go to Roberto. But, you know, people look up and it probably got a lukewarm reception, didn't it? The playing, some people clapped,
it absolutely frightens them or terrifies them.
I think the world changes though. Not you know, social media is a massive thing now, protests and planes.
But I think that showed the power of Twitter, just that protest alone.
Yeah, you know? it's just this is the thing, people are more demanding.
Yeah,
so whereas the Everton fan base without social media 20 years ago might not have been as demanding,
spot on.
I think the way the mindset is changing, but people have to realise there's other generations of Evertonians. Yeah. There's Evertonians not just from Liverpool who go to the match, and there's Evertonians wherever, they all should be valued. Everyone's got thoughts. People, I hate the way people take a swipe saying, you don't go to the match, you haven't got a right to comment. Yeah. Well, I've been a match for most of my life, but I've stopped going to match a lot of the time. So where does that leave me? I honestly think that we all support the same club, but the contrasting views is so varied.
And
I've sort of given up hope that not everyone's going to have an ambitious sort of mentality like myself.
I don't get it. You know, they supported Everton, I'm guessing, because of the great players we've had, the stories they've heard. Ball can, you're talking players who've won things, so it's in our genes. All right, sporadically, but we do win things. Yeah. So you wonder what the hell they're getting out of it if they're not asked about us winning any trophies.
Yeah.
Because this, let's face it, this season has been diarrhea from almost month one. You know, barring a couple of pretty good away wins.
And this latest scenario with the protest, Mark, is it coming to a head?
Yeah.
As we said before about the Baines situation at the beginning of April, it's all come to a head.
Absolutely.
It's taken probably a year to snowball into this.
Yeah.
A year of pretty
sniping,
much drivel-driven stuff from Martinez in his press conferences.
Yeah.
He's bounced between one of them to one disappointing result to the next, and he's clung on to, he's talking about Wolfsburg in one of his press conferences lately. He's talking about that. He's talking about getting
even that game. We were extremely fortunate to win that 4-1. If you remember, Wolfsburg had about 35 chances in the second half.
Was it Robles or Tim Howard? I think it
could have easily been 11-4.
But that to me is clutching at straws.
Yeah, of course.
Talking about a record points tally, which is a distant memory,
ancient history.
Talking about Wolfsburg, a distant memory. I was prepared to write that second season off, but honestly, Mark, from what's happened since, there's been no signs for me that I should stick with this manager. And I'm not saying the manager's just all to blame, because a lot of them players need to look at themselves.
Yeah.
We could go through a list of squads, which we will at the end of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
But ultimately, the buck stops with him, and he's refused to change, and he's refused to address a lot of the common issues.
And even acknowledge in his press conferences.
And I feel like he's undermined us.
Yeah, completely. And he's tried to... He's it's like he's watched over the Titanic sinking and told us all, what a beautiful calm night it's been. Now that's the way I feel. It's like he's completely glossed over a catastrophe. Which takes some gloss.
You need to start stenciling some of these on your walls, you know.
That's just, my whole living room would be hashtags.
I could see your brain just like thinking about the next analogy.
Pathetic analogies.
Hello, the one before about the bat overflowing. Radox everywhere.
Alan's deep bath again. Yeah.
But yeah, he said the scrutiny should be over 3 years. Well,
yeah,
Roberto, we've been sitting here since January 2015.
Yeah,
and not a lot has changed. Not a lot has improved. In fact, nothing's improved.
We're still talking about his refusal to adapt and change. We're still starting at home with two defensive midfield players against no matter who.
We're still giving chances to players who would not get a sniff in a lot of sides in the Premier League.
We're giving goals away under Moyes, and I'm not advocating Moyes at all, I really aren't, but you just didn't see goals like that going. They're almost rolling in apologetically now, every time you concede the Bournemouth goal. It's just a joke.
And we've just signed a player for 13 million who looks fresh off.
Yeah. And all day, these people who don't like process, they get, he's not fit. Well, why didn't he play for the under-21s then? You know, this isn't going to stand up in court.
If he's not fit, why did he start a Premier League game on Saturday then?
Yeah.
And why did Martin say you won't see him again this season?
So he's contradicting himself. The bullshit, it could lay a dozen fields at the moment. You know, he's putting farmers out of business.
So, there's talk about his future, but...
We just talked about it for an hour.
The Everton board have apparently been having a meeting. I don't know how long the board table is, because these meetings tend to go on for 10 days. I don't know who's around the Everton board tables. I don't know.
I think half of them are people on the stadium tour, just to get a feel for the club.
I don't know where they meet, how they meet. I don't know who knows what. I don't believe what anyone says on Twitter or anything anymore. The latest thing I've been told is, he was told the day after the United defeat that he was gone.
Yeah.
Due to certain circumstances last week.
Yeah.
And certain things in the media, it was not right to announce the news then. So they were going to put it off to this week.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're on Wednesday now. Nothing's going to happen. He's going to have a press conference tomorrow.
I know. Straight back onto the next game.
So I don't think anyone knows anything yet. I think he may have been briefed and said, your future did hinge on whether you bring us a trophy and get us to the final. And at the end of the season, we're going to assess the situation, which ultimately means you'll lose your job. I don't know. He did look a bit defeatist in his interview before the Bournemouth game.
And possibly more honest.
Yeah.
Although, stretching it a little bit.
Yeah, and, but, you know, no doubt he'll have a lot of excellent sound bites about Leicester.
But I think assessing it at the end of the season as opposed to now, another analogy, sorry, is like assessing the Lecky situation when you only got 10 pence on it. It's going to go in the next bit, isn't it? You know, it's not going to improve. I don't see the benefit in I don't see it. The season's done.
What are you telling me?
A 10th place finish is going to save his job. Yeah, exactly. You know, assess it now so we can move on.
Give it Merrow to the end of the season.
Give it Merrow.
Well, people have been like, oh, give it Joe Royal, give Unsworth, Cheedy and all that. I can't see any of that happening. At other clubs, that might happen. Interim, but I think Everton will only get rid of him at the end of the season if they've got a manager in mind. Hopefully, if it comes to that, they'd show a bit of balls and actually appoint someone who maybe is a bit more.
A name we need, I think, a proven winner.
Yeah, a name, a winner, a bit more cutthroat in his approach.
Don't need little.
Simeone in that black jacket would do me nicely.
Imagine that guy around.
At least you'd feel normal, though.
The shape would feel like their pants 10 times over. Yeah, I wouldn't feel normal. I'd feel 10 feet tall.
But you know, I can't see Everton. That's the thing. I can't see Everton getting anyone with a personality.
No,
and as bad as that sounds, it's always a safe.
But I think that's driven by the boards. You want a yes man, constant yes man, who's not going to question anything, who's made up to be there. And that's all you're going to get. So you probably know on this board, they'll make a move for Eddie Howe. Because he for me seems
Gary Megson.
Gary Megson, if it wasn't, you know, one thing we can be thankful for Walter Smith is that he told Ken Wright what to do with that one and pointed him in Moyes' direction. But you know, we need someone who's going to get fans off the seats right away.
Pellegrini.
Yeah, I'm not fussed on him. I don't know.
Joe Chim Lowe.
No, apparently. Well,
you're just jealous because he's got good hair.
He's got great hair. But his club record is what concerns me. He's not. He's done well with Germany. With a hugely talented.
Is he not a winner though? Is he not? Is we winning for a Germany?
He is, you know. He's also won it with the finest players in a generation in Germany.
Okay, so you're taking all of achievements away from him there, Mark.
I am.
Eddie Howe?
No, never. No. Never.
Mark Hughes?
Never. Again, never.
No?
Now the next one, yeah.
De Boer?
Frank, yeah. Can you imagine De Boer and Bergkamp on the bench? We'd all be turning up and being
with Osman in a coaching jacket.
Oh, no. That is Everton. That's
Osman and Hibbert.
Yeah. I mean, Osman and Hibbert sat next to Bergkamp. One of the greatest technicians of all ever. No, I mean,
I'm Bergkamp.
I watched that actually today. I'm Bergkamp. He's learned a few things off Ozzy. No, oh, fuck. I said Ozzy then.
Who is it? Dennis Lawrence and Graeme Jones.
I said Ozzy then as if I was a huge fan. Well, I should have gone after him.
Well, I did see that poster on your wall as it came in.
I'm trying to sell it.
It had darts in it, like.
Trying to sell it on eBay.
So, De Boer, people keep talking about him.
Yeah.
Ronald Koeman. Or is it Koeman? I would be saying it.
Koeman. Ronald Koeman, I've always said.
Koeman, yeah.
Koeman.
The press were saying about him again today, he's only got a year left. He'd be the one for me.
Do you think?
But yeah. I've said it on the previous podcast, would he see it as a step backwards? You know, look at Southampton. In reality, we could see.
But then are they going to sell another load of players this summer?
Well, that's it. Are they like Everton were a few years ago? You know what I mean? Getting there or thereabouts. Because they have done well.
Their policy seems to be to sell big and buy in low, and then they've done well with that, haven't they? You know, still breaks my heart to think we could have signed Tadic. But we signed McGeady instead. I mean, you know, if ever you want to sack a guy for one reason, it's that. Everton that, isn't it?
McGeady, oh, I forgot about him.
I know. He's still on the payroll.
No doubt he'll get a coaching job at Everton as well. So, they're the rumours.
I'd like to go personally.
Yeah.
With Bergkamp.
But I just with the last podcast, and we'll probably still be saying the same in 12 months' time.
Yeah.
Martinez is still in the job, so we can't really.
So none of it means anything.
We can't start interviewing.
No.
Can we?
No.
Upstairs in the Segura.
We can't.
Come in, Frank. Come in, Dennis.
Frank, get over here. He said, I can't. He's not gone yet. Frank, I've got the beard in.
Have you ever heard of County Road? nice little bistros down there.
I'll take you the hour after the game. You won't want to leave.
where the barmaids go for a stand-up piss. So, on to Leicester. We've got Leicester Saturday. Yeah. It could have been a deciding game.
Could have been, yeah.
It would have if Tottenham was a one Monday night, Everton definitely would have beat Leicester on Saturday. We would have become the hated figure.
We'd have done nothing all season and then pissed on everybody's chips by beating Leicester on Saturday. Yeah,
1-0, PNR off the bench or something.
Like a scruffy Osmond Fulham goal.
Leicester, I think we need to mention them, don't we?
Yeah, it's just breathtaking. I just think you're never going to see it ever again. I think it's a once in a lifetime.
What's impressed you most about them?
Just the absolute determination and fight that they've had for each other in that team. They've got the star quality of Mahrez behind a player who's found himself in the form of his life in Vardy. You know, it's just been a magic combination where they just clicked. They haven't suffered many injuries, which you need. They've had a few suspensions now and again. They've done well recently with Vardy out, haven't they? But I know people, it's fashionable to hate Leicester and all that, but how the hell can you? Because it's been a closed shop, the Premier League, for the last so many years. For them to just come and blast it, and they've won it comfortably, let's face it. I'm thrilled for them, because them fans are never gonna have a time like that again. It just made me angry that we have been such a non-entity this season. Again, it's only serving to make me more angry about what's going on at Everton. But thrilled for Leicester. I mean, you can't... It's hard not to be.
I agree, and I think some people find some of it a bit cringy with Vardy and everything, but yeah. In terms of a romance, and Ranieri's never won a league in any other country, and for him to come back almost like a swan song, and I openly admit, like a year ago, we spoke to the Leicester podcast, who we're going to try and get them on before the end of the season, because we're playing them Saturday. And we spoke after, it was before all the Pearson stuff.
Yeah.
Funny enough, I was thinking the other day, if our lads go away on tour and have a bit of an orgy or something, and it's somehow leaked, maybe that'll spur us on to win the league. We'll sack Martinez and we'll go on to win the league, I don't know.
Oh, because of one misplaced Mark Bosnich type.
Graham Jones is pictured fucking, I don't know.
By the way, the way he carried on, you're right, the way he carried on at Wembley, I thought he just looked
right. We're talking about Leicester now. I think Ranieri has remained grounded. He's a class
humble
act,
guy, isn't he?
Very humble, very grounded, very very suave and classy in his approach. And I think the likes of Mahrez, Vardy, and that, the ones who get the plaudits. But the Albrightons and the likes of Albrightons. Fuchs, the left
he's
back.
A great player, yeah. Schmeichel doing his bit.
Wes Morgan. You could name them all, couldn't you? They've all played.
But for me, the style show has been Kante. What a player he is.
Kante's been brilliant. Ujoa and Ogizaki have come in and played. They all have. And then, they've struck lucky to a point, but, they beat us at Goodison's in the 3-2. And I draw back to the word you said, determination. People talk about the work ethic and... But it's just being a raw 4-4-2, sort of, your two wingers, your four flat back four, a bit of snide with Huth and Morgan, and just going for it, like the likes of Danny Simpson and that, who was probably a bit of a misfit, really, an outcast of the Premier League.
Villa didn't want all Brighton, and they got relegated with three wins.
Zach Fuchs, they got on a free, Kante was on a cheap. You just can't, it is a film,
he's just
it?
Found it's a film. It's a film, it's goal, it's like goal, it's, it's just found a magic formula, that's it. I don't think they'll repeat it next season. I really don't.
Chat shit, get banged.
100%.
But it's been great. And there'll be some party there at the Walker Stadium on Saturday.
Half of it in complete disbelief.
Hopefully that means Everton have got half a chance of winning.
Why couldn't that have been us?
This is what's going to happen. No, we'll beat Bournemouth, we'll beat Leicester, right?
Yeah.
Oh, we beat the champions. So we'll go to Sunderland and beat them. And we'll probably get a result against Norwich. So and all will be forgotten.
And it'll be, great.
We finished
10th. Roberto.
We finished 10th with a goal difference of plus 10. Yeah. What was your goal?
And then willingly get men in blacked and forget it, the whole thing that ever happened.
Yeah.
And move on.
Forgetting the fact that we're 8,000 down on season ticket renewals.
We need to keep the bigger picture in mind here.
We're looking at probably a summer of a lot of players leaving.
I might think we're looking at doing a Villa next year if we don't act fast.
I wouldn't go as far as that.
not three wins or nothing like that, but we could quite easily. Gravity is forcing us down.
I think, you know,
management.
What does it say if you lose the likes of Stones or you lose the likes of Lukaku?
Yeah.
What happens if
are
you lose
gonna
Lukaku's
attract
goals?
Players if we're getting rid of them.
You know, we can't strike lucky and wait for a Jamie Vardy.
Not at all.
You know, and then 13 million on the arse. We're gonna go and buy another 13 million for a player for them to wait six months to play, and before then, who knows where we could be, but. Yeah, fair play to Leicester, and you know, excited for that. It's a bit of a nothing game for both sides.
Yeah,
Everton v Leicester, but hopefully we see a performance and a win. But you know, full credit to them.
Yeah, fantastic news, mate. Just brilliant. They fully deserve it. Hope they build on it. You know, stuff. But
after that, Mark, we've got Sunderland in midweek, game in hand, and then the Norwich game.
Sunderland.
Who knows what will happen by? That's a massive sign of relegation, isn't it?
Yeah, for them.
Sunderland and Norwich won't fancy playing us, but you know, Stephen Naismith, there's a chance there we could be sending him down on the final day.
Exactly.
Of the season.
Yeah, at Goodison Park.
Yeah, I think the Sunderland game will be tough, really tough.
Yeah, I do.
He's got them playing at the moment.
They look an artisan team, don't they? With Defoe and you know the. And Sunderland always have the Indians sign over at this time of the season. They always beat us, don't they? April, they were 3-0 at Goodison last year.
Yeah.
Horrendous. And then I remember getting beat at Sunderland 1-0 with De Canio up there. They always seem to do well against us at this time of the season. Mm. You know.
But they're the other two games after the Leicester game. So
and then we can say that the misery is over then.
The misery is over, and then we'll do it a season review. So what we'll have to do is we'll have to do that one in the pub.
Yeah. We'll get on the effies for that one.
We'll draft in a few of our trusty guests.
Yeah.
They're still willing to come on with us on get the FS in. Like last season, we ended up buried in the Wetherspoons, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah.
And we thought, oh, this will be a one-off this. We've had a good go in Europe. We finished bottom half. We'll go again next season, but bloody hell.
We're arriving at this one more depressed than the last one.
I think a rack of Sambucas for this season review.
I'll get him in.
We might be celebrating a change in management, you know.
And then
Dennis and De Boer could be sitting next to us.
Sambucas are definitely coming in. Yeah, Dennis and De Boer, by all means, you know, you get him in first and, you know, we'll follow.
So, that was it. To finish off on that, and there's a few bits to finish off on any other business, Mark. There's one or two bits of news. We'll just whiz through them, we won't whiz through this first, but it was probably... but it's not probably, it's definitely worth mentioning about the news about the justice campaign last week and the victims of the Hillsborough disaster. After 27 years, there was obviously major news last week, and the city came together to commemorate.
Brilliant, wasn't it?
The groundbreaking news, and it was definitely worth a mention. Obviously, from an Everton point of view, we've lived through it, haven't we? Living in the city.
Yeah, and I think stood... next to Liverpool, stood toe to toe, but that's been the phrase, hasn't it, with Liverpool, and it's certainly been true. I just thought it was a rare moment of uplifting, of a feel-good factor, do you know what I mean? And it's been them families, the fight and the determination over all the years, and it's really sad that not all the people who fought for that haven't lived to see the day that they came around last week. To finally get the justice that we all knew that they should have got 27 years ago, Not all the lies and the agendas and the outrageous media campaigns against them. I just think the fight, and you're right, they did pick on the wrong city, because they haven't let it go. They've gone at it. They've not let every kind of ridiculous injustice go against them. They've kept at it, and they deserved that day for the sons and for the daughters who they lost, because then, I think only then, can they let them go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you need that closure, and you can't, more, I think, you know, you can't sort of say goodbye properly until their names are cleared. And I thought, disgusting. I was made up for them, proper made up.
Same here, and it was obviously I'm very moving. A couple of days last week, especially the scenes at St George's Hall. I thought that just typified.
Well, I think the tribute at the start of the Bournemouth game as well was hair raising stuff at the back of the neck. You know.
Yeah. Well, that's on that Bournemouth game. I wrote that down, but I thought we need to give it more airtime than just a.
Absolutely.
But Everton have been great throughout.
Brilliant.
And that doesn't come from Evertonians. That
was superb, that.
But not only is it Evertonians, there's been an awful lot of people, but it's a tragedy in itself that they've waited this long for it. But as you say, I'm hoping now that those 96 people and their families can rest and rest in peace.
100%.
And hopefully move on with the lives. Obviously, there's still other things ongoing with prosecutions and criminal charges.
But it's that is now all a consequence of. But the major thing has been achieved.
But the news was finally proven what we all knew anyway.
Yeah, and so, you know, and the Sun and the didn't bother reporting it, the Murdoch papers, which just shows not only did they cover up the truth, they're also classless, ultimately bad losers.
Yeah,
you know, just been probably
the biggest cover up
in history. I agree with Aldridge for once, and I never agree with John Aldridge, but he said if only Thatcher would have been allowed to see this.
Yeah,
you know, but it's heavy stuff, I know, but. The Hillsborough documentary as well got us all going on the other night, didn't it, as well? Yeah. That was just unbelievable, that, to watch it again.
So finally some
made
good
up
news.
For them. Yeah, over the
moon. We pass on our best wishes from us too, and probably definitely. All Evertonians listening to this as well. So
absolutely.
A couple of other things, mate, with the another one we haven't really spoke about him on the podcast before, maybe we'll have to try and get him on, but Speedo Mick, I think he deserves a mention, doesn't he? Number one, because he's very much involved at Everton. Number one because he's raising an awful lot of money for charity, but because he's doing it in conjunction with his support for Everton, walking to Wembley. You think he's raised over 50 grand, I think it's more 60 grand now.
Unbelievable. Obviously, I mean, today when I first seen him in the upper bottles, I just thought it was a guy who'd had a bit too many.
On this podcast who ends up going into a bit of a meltdown.
Me, quite often. I just thought it was a guy just having a laugh. But I didn't know what the story was behind it and all that, but the story's been, you know, again, determination and commitment to the cause has been unbelievable. To walk to Wembley, I heard him on Absolute Radio talking to Andy Bush, and he was on leg four, you know, and he was only 100 miles short and stuff, but he's walking all that. I just thought, that's some effort.
Truly amazing, all, you know, in the name of charity.
I made up when I run to the Chippy and back. I think that's some effort, you know, but, you know, that is commitment.
Definitely. So, Speed on Myth, big shout out to you.
Yeah, well done, mate.
You don't know us, but we may well come and speak to you soon about all of your fundraising, because it's a real proud achievement.
Fantastic.
And I think everyone at Everton and anyone who's come across should have actually... being taken aback by your efforts.
Yes.
Incredible. Maybe we'll have to do something, maybe an Everton fan focused sponsored walk or something up and down County Road.
Yeah, I think he'd do better if it was a sponsored rant.
Sponsored rant, yeah. You'd raise a fortune, yeah. Tony Bell, you fighting at Goodison as well.
How quickly did that happen?
I know.
I mean,
you're often seen fighting at Goodison, but that's just with Pro Ken Wright.
I can't believe I'm not as box office as he is.
Aren't you on the undercard for that night?
I should be, yeah, against
EFC Cap or whatever.
Dave Parkey. EFC Parkey. Cap. Parkey, I'm calling you on, mate.
Parkey, we watch Toffee.
Let's get on the undercard.
Bellew's fighting at Goodison.
Yeah.
So it's another money spinner for Ken Wright and his crew there, isn't it? Right?
And I think it's
Hollywood. Right?
I just think it's another. I'm made up for Tony. I'm not into boxing because I wouldn't pretend to hold conversations on it. I know a little bit, but I'm made up that he's got it at Goodison. It seems to have happened really quickly, and it's all and tickets are being printed and everything. So I think it's going to be fantastic for Bellew. Hope he does great. Don't know, the cozying up to Ken Wright hasn't sat well with me, as you can imagine. He's kind of been a bit too close to our beloved leader. But I get that. I get why he's doing that. Obviously, he needs his ground to play in. So, not Ken Wright's ground, is it? But, you know.
I have visions.
I hope he does. I'm thrilled for him, to be honest. He's a player. When he gets to fight at Everton, that's probably one of the greatest things he's ever going to do.
I have visions of Robert Earl. With all of his BHS, so sailing
Green,
off.
Philip Green.
Sorry, Philip Green.
Yeah, don't want people pulling us on Twitter.
Fucking sailing up the Mersey on his yacht with a cigar, with Sliced Stallone on the roof.
Yeah.
Just for the big fight, just, you know what I mean?
All for that.
You can see Ken Wright wheeling it out, can't you?
And 25,000 blues going along with it.
We're the people's club.
People's club.
You'll be hanging off the park ends, protest them.
Yeah, drowning out protests and stuff like that. I just only wish... Like I put on Twitter, if they're going to keep Martinez, at least turn the tally up when he starts speaking. then we won't be able to hear him.
Yeah, like they did for your protest.
Like they did for my
protest.
That's
because they didn't want to hear your woolly back accent.
you should have heard my voice, it's beautiful.
Joel got player of the month.
Did he?
Yeah.
see, I'm not even a blue, I'm a shite blue, me, mate. Honestly.
See, I pay attention.
See, I'm a shite blue, me. I just bronze, no.
Where was you? I went. I'm only messing.
Was
at the hill? Was at the hill?
See, your biscuits loving.
Yeah. You can play them off, Joel. To be honest, he probably deserves player of the month for keeping the scores down for at Anfield.
Yeah, he does. He deserves player. Yeah, kept a lot out that day. No, he's done okay. Yeah.
Gareth Barry won the supporters club player of the season last night as
Yes, well deserved. Yeah. I think he's rolled back the clock this year after how much fume we gave towards him last season. And yeah, he looked like he'd lost his legs.
Humble pie. Is he weird?
Yeah, 100%. He's been our best player. Yeah, he well deserves that award for me. He's rolled back the clock to when he first signed for us.
He should get the player of the season as well, shouldn't he?
I think so. I think there was a time where
Lukaku... Unless he gets sabotaged.
I think a Martinez out banner might ruin it or something. But
no, I mean...
Well deserved.
People are voting for Niasse, aren't they, for player of the season?
There's a lot of fume. Yeah, why Everton even put him on the list possibly needs to be questioned more than fans taking the piss voting for him. Can you imagine Niasse getting it? It's just going to be a scene out of Police Gun, of a naked gun, police gun, police squad. It's just going to be ridiculous.
Barry's got to win it, if not him, Lukaku, but I reckon Lukaku will get young.
Yeah, I think it says a lot about Lukaku that he hasn't robbed it after scoring 25 goals. He has
gone off the boil a lot.
Performances have gone.
Since he probably made them comments at the end of March, his head's gone away.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, is it that or is it just a coincidence, the fact that he hasn't...
I agree.
He's missed a half full of chances against United, missed a penalty, and he hasn't looked interested in other games, has he?
No.
And he hasn't been involved in other games, to be fair, to the lad.
No, that's true, yeah.
So, David, that was any other business. The final one was Kieran Dowell.
Yeah, I think he's going to be... I was disgusted that he only got 4 minutes on the side. It's not like me to be disgusted. I don't offend easily.
No.
But I thought he should have got a lot more time on, you know, to come on and play. I think some of his goals have been, for the under-21s, have been a constant source of happiness this season. You know, the guy looks... He looked a great player when I seen him against Krasnodar. Only a little bit, but you can tell, you know, a player, when you see one, his touch, he's a wand, a bit of a... Could be a Beardsley for us, you know, left foot. And I always think left footed players look far much better, more graceful than right. He's got, I think he's the vision almost Hoddle esque, you know, for me. Looks, should have got a lot more, should have played against Southampton.
He was agent.
Yeah, no, I should be. Kieran, if you're listening, you know, get me out of this job and I'll come be your agent, but don't let me work weekends. But I think he's a great player, man. Honest, can't stop.
But did you see that hat-trick he scored the other night?
Yeah, I mean, every single goal, the technical ability, I think the first one, he dumped over the keeper.
Vision, you said vision, yeah.
Vision.
The second, he's got a deft touch, hasn't he?
The second one, the ball was fizzed into him and he just sort of controlled it into the back of the net.
Mm.
Third one, he used the defender to kill the ball around and into the corner. I mean, you know, he's not a striker, he's an attacking midfield player, and I think he's scored 20 odd goals.
I'd love, you know, to go to Leicester there, Saturday. If Barry's fit, throw Barry back in the team, but throw Barkley and Dal.
Yeah,
as of the two, you know what I mean? Rather than having two holding, or maybe against Norwich, just give him a start, because I don't like to always see two holding at Goodison, as you say.
Don't like it.
It's like, you know, you've got Bezic there in the park, you're going to run round. But we sort of know what play you're going to get. Throw in the likes of Dal. If Gibson's playing, because they're going to give him another contract, keep Gibson in then. Let him do the defensive groundwork or whatever with Barry, and let Dal play further forward. Push Barkley on, do you know what I mean? Or leave Barkley out the side, give him a bit of a rest.
You know, nowhere near Barcelona, but they're saying get as much creativity on the pitch as you can.
Yeah.
Because, you know, because then you're always going to occupy the opponent's minds.
Could he play left side with Delafoe, right, Lukaku, central?
I think he could
Barkley
play
behind, and then you've got Bezic and Barry.
Maybe.
Is he
but
not
then I see him best as
more attacking.
Right, I'm not a scout. I don't know fuck all about stuff like that. But I would think his best way could be behind the striker, you know, or just in that sort of David Silva type role. He seems that type of player, you know.
He's busy, yeah.
Busy, but also.
And I forgot.
I mean, even in the 5 minutes he was on Saturday, you know, a few nice touches that you know were good. Tom Davis as well.
The under-21s are going well, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, the decent end to their season.
Man, there's five players ready to step up, and for once I believe him.
Yeah.
You know, I think
wouldn't it be refreshing to get them involved and think actually this summer We've got Brendan Galloway to come back. If we can keep Stones, Matty Pennington's come in.
Holgate Dal, is as good as the same
is. Mason Holgate.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? These players.
You've got the lad John Williams, who I was watching against Chelsea the other day on here. Looked a real class player. You know, so you'd think, hopefully there's a bit of a generation coming.
Bit of a catalyst, yeah.
And I think that's the only thing that can cheer us up now, to be honest.
Yeah.
Is the youth.
Well, here you go. We've ended it.
Mahrez getting axed. Really?
I was going to say, we ended it on a positive there for once. But in terms of Everton content, I don't think you could ask for more there. If we've missed anything out, I'd love for you to tweet me and say, you missed this out, because you'd be a picky bastard if you did. Because I'm trying to remember everything there from the past 3 weeks.
That is something, mate. You've done well. And I've run out of tea bags, so we definitely have covered everything.
And we've nearly run out of Jaffa cakes. But we'll come back then at the end of the season. We want fan involvement in that as well. We're going to probably do a few Twitter polls.
Yeah,
get some opinions, because we haven't had none to read out
here. We know what the overriding opinion is.
If we ask for anyone's opinion now, they'd be like, shite, get rid of Sack Martinez.
I mean, I should pretend to be Gary Lineker. I'll just get people saying, shat on Martinez. So,
in terms of an end of season review, we'll bring a bit of humour to it and come back in a couple of weeks,
because if we approach it suicidally...
who knows? I think it's unlikely that Martinez would have gone by then. But I would like to think we have some more clarification at the end of the season as to what's going to happen, unless they just let us plod along and just go
drift. I feel like the horse in the never-ending story is just slowly drifting, no one's paying any attention, I'm going under this murky quicksand. If you've never watched the end of the story, I'm showing my age now. A horse drowns in quicksand. That's how I feel at the moment, and I'm looking around for Mashiri, maybe to tell me, no, don't worry about it, we're getting you out.
Mashiri's not saying much, is he?
Very unimpressive start at the moment.
Do you think so? Eh?
I'm completely behind the guy, and I hope that he does what he said he was going to do when Bill would let him get a word in the other day. But I just think he's made no kind of statement at all. In fact, you see where he was sitting in the stand against Bournemouth, far right.
Yeah.
Nowhere near the front.
Well, people may think something like that, but I don't know if that's because there was specific
maybe
guests there on the day.
Maybe there's guests but I don't know,
he's getting his train up from London, isn't he? He's getting his train because fans keep spotting him on it. And then he's.
I'd assume that was less and there was more mystery about the guy, but more intent in what he was saying.
Yeah.
You know, it's becoming a bit of a...
But is he just getting a feel for the club at the moment? You know what I mean?
I hope so. No, I'm completely behind the guy. I'm not slagging him off. And the proof, like you say, will be in the pudding this summer. When we get to see really what he's all about, and I hope it's just ambition.
We hope that he's a serious money man, but you know, part of you thinks
is he there for the TV money?
To monopolise Ken Wright's
circus
that is
ever, bizarrely you know enough, since his shares have weakened, Ken Wright's grasp seems to have gotten stronger on Everton. He's appeared in quite the centre now.
He was not seen very much, with all due respect. There was a lot of rumours about speculation about his health. Now he's on the scene again, wearing thick black
ring
glasses.
I've no doubt he was, though, because I think he would have turned up to every game. But it's like, ever since Mascheri gave him that money, which I hope, by the way, gets reinvested, then he seems to have, I don't know, mind you, 22 million would perk anybody up, I guess. But, you know, that's certainly perked Bill up. He hasn't been off the cameras. But then I'll probably get lynched now. Bill, if you're ill, I hope you get well. He certainly looks well these days.
We've talked about Doc before, Mark. It's a time and a place. We've talked about, you know, we're all grown-ups. There was rumours. We didn't want to speculate. There was rumours rife about it. It was obvious that he was staying away for a reason.
Yeah.
And it was confirmed by close sources and in the media that he was unwell.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously...
Wouldn't wish that on anyone.
No,
really
we want to know the owner is first and foremost... about him, whether he's healthy, but he's running our club as well, so that's important to us.
We've got 40,000 fans.
With the changes now with Mascheri, I think long term we want to sort of see something come to fruition now.
Yeah,
you know what
absolutely.
I mean? If he is coming into mean business, if we are going to see changes, and we are going to sort of change our mentality.
Are we going to get like when City got to go over and they signed Rubinho, it was like a statement signing. I think that's what's needed at Everton.
The ass was ours. He was ours.
We've missed that. Was the statement signing? That's Everton. That
the ass.
My ass. Bambi on ice. Or Bambi on ass.
Only messing with my lad. You get them 25 goals next season and we'll be singing your praises.
Exactly, I'll be as fickle as anybody.
So, good to speak to you anyway,
yeah,
Ben.
You, Mark.
Nice one for listening, everyone.
Thanks very
speak
much.
Speak to you soon. Ta-ra.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.